I just need your prayers tonight as I stand before you. I'm thankful for the good prayer that's been offered. And every good thing comes from the Lord, so we give Him the praise ultimately for all of the blessings we've enjoyed tonight together as a little assembly of believers. And to be an assembly of believers is a great, great blessing and an evidence of the work of Almighty God, that He would call us out of nature's darkness to His marvelous light and give us life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ability to know the things that we have been blessed to know, and to be able to talk about the things that we have shared tonight. We need Him in the preaching of the gospel, as you know, so please pray for me as we look together at a portion of God's Word. If I have a text tonight, it'd be found in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I always encourage God's little children to do that. What Brother Jamie mentioned of the great blessing we have to have the written Word so available to us in the day and age in which we live, and to be able to sit together with a portion of God's people and just read together from the Bible is a great, great blessing. And I certainly hope that our study of the Word of God isn't just when we gather at the house of the Lord. I hope we are, as much as we can, faithfully searching and studying the Word of God so that you're trying the things that you hear preached to you by what the Bible says, and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And tonight, let's look at a portion of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, we begin reading right at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to read these verses tonight in your hearing. We have, by inspiration of God, the writings of the Apostle Peter, who writes as a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ in verse 1. And he says he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope we all tonight can attest to the fact that our faith is certainly a precious, precious gift that the Lord has given us. If you'd believe tonight, it's because you've been given the gift of faith, enabling you to believe. And I'm not talking about just believing in anything, just believing in a divine power or a divine being, but believing in the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the triune God, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in God. We also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We We believe that He is the very Son of God, that He is the one that paid the sin debt, that He is our Savior, that He is our light, and He is our help, and He's our strength. And He's the one that we can call on as a friend anytime we stand in need of Him in this world. And He has promised to us, so as He says here, so many exceeding great and precious promises. And if you're enabled tonight to be able to believe, if we've heard the things we've heard today and heard them preached, and we were able to believe them and embrace them, able to hear them, able to know them, it is faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if the Lord had not given us faith, we wouldn't be able to hear or know any of these things. Now, the scripture here talks about obtaining like precious faith. Now, how did you obtain your faith, and how did I obtain my faith? Did I give you your faith, or did you give me my faith, or did I hear someone one day who gave me faith? Is that how we got faith? No. We know that with man, like salvation is impossible with man, we know that's also absolutely impossible. I could be as clear tonight as I possibly can and lay out God's purpose in saving His people from their sins through the finished shed work of the Lord, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that finished work at Calvary. And if the one that I'm speaking to does not have faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that message will have absolutely no impact or meaning to that individual. We know that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We also know that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We know in order to have faith, you have to be given life, and that is to be born again. And we know to be born again is just like the wind bloweth where it listeth. I can't make the wind blow. You can't make the wind blow. Neither can you or I stop it from blowing. But as God moves according to His own good pleasure, He quickens every one of His little lambs, every one of His sheep, from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. He does that work. And they hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear live. And in that wonderful gift, they're given the wonderful blessing and the fruit of faith. And faith is the ability to see and hear and know spiritual things, where without that, we're completely blind to it. Now, we obtain like, and that means my faith is like your faith. And that's why we have fellowship together. That's why we have the same one that has blessed you to hear and know these things, I trust has blessed me to see, hear and know these things. And even the gospel, as we preach tonight, we're talking about the righteousness of God. But the righteousness of God, we'll never understand. We'll never understand how it is that we could ever be made righteous before Almighty God, or understand how heaven could be possibly our home unless the Lord allows us to hear that. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel from faith to faith, which means the minister who preaches it has to be given the faith to have been able to believe it and stand for it and declare it. And the action of him preaching is the evidence. You can't see his faith, but you can see the evidence of his faith when he declares that truth, and you can hear that truth and see that, and then also see them walk in that truth. And that also, when you see God's little children, you can't see their faith, but I can see the evidence of their faith when they believe that. You see a little brother or sister who hears the wonderful good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and are by faith able to see the beauty of the church. And the next thing you know, that one who thought he would never go down into a river and be immersed in water seems to think the river is not so bad after all. As a matter of fact, I have a burden to go, but I kind of feel like I'm not going to be able to live up to that. And then the Lord can also give them the faith to allow them to know that, no, you can't live up to it without me, but with me you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Tonight, the Lord has blessed us so much in that He's given unto us all things, as He says here, that pertain to life and godliness. Can you wrap? No, we can't. Can we wrap our head and our thoughts around that tonight? That tonight, though we sometimes feel like I'm just... I don't have enough. You ever feel like I just don't have enough to get through? This is God. Every time I get this news and I get past it, I think, here comes another one. And then when that comes, here comes another one. We think, how am I going to make it in this old troubled world? I want you to know you have already, and I have, if we are indeed God's children, and I believe we do have like precious faith, I know one thing, when we have a good preacher come and preach like the brethren have done lately, and I look over this congregation, I'm smiling, y'all smiling too. You must be hearing the same kind of thing. You must be hearing of the wonderful good news of Jesus, and it must make you happy. You know, not everybody gets happy when they hear an old Baptist preach. There are some people who get upset. There are some people who just get plain angry. There are some people who get mad. There's no room for man to boast or to glory in the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all the glory and the honor and the praise belongs to the Lord. And when we hear someone declaring that, well, we hear that and it sounds, it's good news, isn't it? Isn't it good news? Don't we love the good news? Don't we love to sing the gospel? Don't we love to hear the gospel preached? Don't we love to, as much as we can, to try to walk as the Lord has taught us to walk in obedience to the gospel? And we do so not because it makes us somebody or something. We believe we are His children by His sovereign grace and His work of grace done for us. Not anything we do in return. Nothing you do in return could possibly pay for the wonderful grace that He's bestowed upon us. But we do it because we've been given another wonderful gift of that like precious faith that gives us communion and fellowship. And as a matter of fact, it's who Simon's preaching to. He said, to them who obtain like precious faith with us. Now, sometimes people might say, well, I got my faith here, or I got my faith there, or I changed my mind, I changed my thinking. Listen to what the Bible says your faith came from. It says, you've obtained like precious faith with us. That means all of us together received it from the same place. And where was that? Through what? Through our righteousness? No, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was our Savior. He is our God. He is one with the Father. He is the one who has given us the faith that we have and the ability tonight to believe and know in Him, so that when you get the news in your life where things seem to be so hard and difficult, you got somebody to trust in a whole lot bigger than anybody in this world. And we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is just, we sang that one hymn tonight. It says that when He has full control. I still have trouble with that verse, because there's never a time He doesn't have full control. That doesn't make Him the author of everything, but I'm telling you, He's always in full control. Amen? It really is, for He has full control. And He satisfies the soul. And He always, we can look to Him because He is in control. Even though the world sometimes seems so far out of control, we know there's one who will suffer to go just so far. And He does that for His own purpose. And I don't understand all about that, but you know, that wasn't what He promised that I'd know it. I won't understand all things. He never promised skies always blue, but He has promised strength as our day. And what does it say? Rest when we labor and light on the way. Grace for our trials. Help from above. Unfading kindness. Undying love. That's a great, great promise. And that's what He's saying to them here. He says, you have this faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This word knowledge here is talking about acknowledging Him. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. It's talking about knowing He's here. You know, I think our behavior will change tonight if we absolutely are able, by God's grace, to understand He's here. I think our behavior in the van changes when we come to an understanding He's in the van with us. I think our behavior on the job changes when we understand He's there with us on the job. I think our behavior in our family, when we're facing conflict or when everything's going well, changes, doesn't it? When you realize He's the ever-present visitor in my home. He's always there. He's there when you're awake. He's there when you're asleep. That ought to help you sleep better. You know, some people say, you know, I see those commercials where you got that big guy standing there and said, nobody bothers this house because I'm watching over this house. You know, it's one of those alarm system things. I'm telling you, I don't care who that man is or what they do. That man can fail and the alarm system can fail. But the one that is watching over our homes as God's little children and watching over our lives, he will never fail. And he will allow us. Doesn't mean we won't have some things maybe happen to us. But nothing that is outside of his control, is it? Not a thing. And nothing outside of his watch care. There's not a sparrow that falls without him. So I can be concerned about things and should be as he's given me wisdom to be, but not so concerned that I've become full of care. And brethren, how do we keep from being full of care? We remember. And that's what preachers do. They remind you of what you know already. The Lord's with us here tonight. That ought to change how we talk. It ought to change how. And what about the Lord is so different than us is I can see you on the outside, and if you don't say it, I won't know you think it. But with the Lord, he knows everything we not only say, but everything we think. So that should have some influence on us, shouldn't it? On not only what we say, but what goes on up here. Some people say you can't help what you think. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. So there are some things we're supposed to think. No, if we empty our head, the old devil and our old flesh will fill it with a whole lot of stuff. And it's never good stuff. But if we think on these things that we've heard. Listen, we've heard so much from the pulpits that we have heard preaching that's of the truth, that if we keep our minds on all of that as much as we can and pray to the Lord, and he will give us. Listen, you can't do it on your own. He's not talking about doing it on your own. He's talking about the power that you and I have for godly living here in this world right now, today, by and through his grace. And you say, well, you don't know what I face every day. You don't know what kind of men or women I work with. You don't know what I have to confront every day. And I will tell you, as working as a mechanic for about 10 years and working as a school teacher for about 30 years, I can tell you there is a difference in the environments in which you work and what you have to face. There's no question about that. But I'm telling you, the same God is with the mechanics in the shop, is with the teachers in the schoolhouse, is with you wherever you're going, and whatever you do as a homemaker or whatever God's called you to do, he is the one that can give you the strength and the ability to live in a way that brings glory and praise to him as you live here in this world. And that's what it's really all about. It's not about me being something good because I'm something good, because that is not the truth. There is not any good in me. There is not any good in you outside of what he has put in us. But when I say that also, I don't want to belittle the fact that he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the third verse. I haven't got there yet, but I got there about two or three times already. He says, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What I'm saying to you tonight is that if you and I can just keep in our minds and thoughts what the Scriptures teach us about who Jesus is, and we can keep that in our minds and thoughts, that not only that's who he is, but that he is an ever-present help for us in this old troubled world, and he will be there even until the day we die. And when we die, even unto death, we will see him face to face, and he will carry us out of this world. He has already delivered us from an eternal hell, which would have been our result, our end, if it had not been for his grace. And he's promised us an eternal heaven, and he has said it in covenant, and God, who cannot lie, has promised it, and you and I can count on it. Listen, there are a lot of things we count on. We count on our husbands and wives to be faithful to the promises they make to one another, and sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. We count on the pieces of paper that we sign that say we're going to pay this bill or we're going to do that. Men write them all the time. Sometimes they write them and lawyers find ways around them, or we end up breaking them. But I'm telling you, the God of heaven cannot lie, and he's promised you that there's a heaven awaiting for you, and also his blessings in time. Everything you ever need for life and godliness, he's already given to us. And therefore, we ought to think about that. And as we do that and think about it and hear about it, and that's why you're here tonight, to hear about it again, telling you again, you're just hearing the same thing you've heard before. I hope grace and peace is multiplied. And when you multiply things, they get big quick. You know, things get big quick when they get multiplied. And the more you have His grace, listen, you have His grace that allows you to know Him. The more you see His grace, it helps you every day, every hour. Brother Bobby did a good job driving back over from Robinson River, but I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't God's grace getting us here, we would have never, if we were to just count, if you'd have been counting on me, I'd have been counting on you, or either one of us been counting on that van, or anything else, listen, and that's just one little example of how many times over and over in our lives, we are facing things that we are in absolutely no control over at all. And this world seems so upside down, does it not? It's an untoward generation. It was in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. And I'm telling you, as Brother said today, it's not getting better. It's degenerating. We're on a planet that's in a collision course for a finality. I mean, it's not going to go to some utopia where there are no problems or anything else. By its own self, it's not evolving up, it's degenerating down. And one day, the Lord's going to wrap it up, and we're going to be carried out of this old world. What a day that'll be. And we'll all meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glorious day. That's the promises of God. And the one who's promised that is with us here tonight as we meet and worship Him. As I come before you in this pulpit, I'm trusting in Him to be with me here, and trusting in Him to be with you there, to bless you, to be able to hear these things. And grace is given, and it's already given, and peace is multiplied. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. Sometimes I'm not at peace because I forget. And when I go back and hear like I heard today, I got to hear it over and over again today. Just got to sit there and feed. I sometimes think, oh, how good it would be just to have to sit and feed. But then again, there's this burden that I feel like I want to say something now. You know, it's like I like to say something, and that burden that you have, it's a fearful thing. But what a blessing it is to be able to share with one of God's little children this wonderful good news. As the little hymn writer said once, because some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And listen, the message of salvation doesn't save them. It tells them about the one who did save them. Isn't that what's good news? People tonight think they've got the message that saves people. Well, there's some saving in the gospel, but it's not saving you for heaven and immortal glory. The saving for heaven and immortal glory, I believe, was finished 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, "It is finished." He had paid that sin debt, and the blood had been shed, and the offering had been accepted before Almighty God, and the wrath of God was satisfied, and the wage of sin that we owed was put upon Him and removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. But the minister comes and tells that good news, and it's like cold water to a thirsty, hungry little soul. He says, according as His divine power hath given. I love that language of this text. Verse 3. It says, His divine power hath given. That's past tense. Unto us. What? All things. If you want to go to Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'm telling you right here, you can tie that in right with this verse. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I'm telling you, all those things work together for our good, do they not? Absolutely. According to His purpose. It says, through the knowledge hath given unto us that pertain through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And tonight the Lord didn't call us to be mediocre. The Lord didn't call us to just do nothing. He didn't call us to just come sit down on the pew and be complacent. He didn't call us to be lukewarm. He didn't call us to not praise Him. He didn't call us just to take it or leave it. He didn't call us to walk like the world and act like the world and talk like the world. He also didn't call us to be neutral. He called us to be actively involved in the praise of Almighty God in our lives as much as we can, to be faithful to Him. He not only called us to that, but He's equipped us for that. And as we put on what He's given us and walk in that, it's a great, great blessing for God's little children. And more importantly, it gives honor and glory to the Lord. And if you have a family that's giving honor and glory to the Lord, you got a family where grace and peace is multiplied. That's what we want in our homes, isn't it? The ultimate end is not just so we have grace and peace. The ultimate end is to the glory of God. But to the glory of God, when a church acts to the glory of God, then there's grace and peace in its borders. And I tell you, it's a bad place when you have hard feelings and division in the household of faith. As the Apostle Paul told that church at Corinth, he said, "You know, you brethren, I see division among you." He said, "I've heard there's division among you, and I believe it," because he saw there was things wrong among them, because they'd gotten their eyes off of Jesus and gotten their eyes on one another and gotten their eyes on some other men and some other. Listen, every minister you ever have has been given to you by the grace of Almighty God, and they're to be followed as they preach the word, but they're not to be worshipped, and they're not the Lord. They're not the head. We have one head. That head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to a little assembly of believers, as we go trusting in the Lord, we find ourselves putting on what He's given us to wear, and our behavior changes, our actions change, our communication change, our thinking changes, and it comes from thinking about Him being with us. He's present with us. You probably have people, as I do in my life, that make me act better when they're around. And you probably have some other people that when they're around kind of can make you know, you kind of blame them for making me act worse. But you find yourself, I'm sure glad so-and-so was here when that happened, because I might have acted a lot worse. And, you know, my wife has been, she's a helpmeet to me. There are sometimes she has a restraint. She has a restraining. She helps me. I don't know how I'm saying that very good, but she helps me. Y'all know what I mean. They help you. And they're a benefit. Now, why would that be a benefit? Because of her? No, only because of the grace of Almighty God given. And every believer, that's why the fellowship of the church is important, because we are to watch over one another. Listen, somebody says, "Well, that's not my business." Oh, listen, God's little children are our concern. We are our brother's keeper. We are concerned about their welfare and how they're walking and how they're behaving and how they're acting in this world. Why? Because we are concerned primarily about the glory of Almighty God. But in that is, you have to be, there's brotherly kindness in that. There's charity in that. There's love and concern for your brethren in that. And there's ways that we are supposed to treat one another because of who we are as God's children and because of our relationship in Christ. There's also ways we're supposed to treat the world and respond to the world because of who we are and our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that's given in this, whether I get to it or not. And it doesn't look like, looks more like not. I know you're tired. I've been with you. I'm tired myself. And I pray the Lord would just bless us for a little while. And I'm gonna try to keep my eye on it, brother. But I'll try to do the best I can. He says, he just looks at me and says, "Yeah, I know. I've been there before." He says, "As His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now that to glory is to be made like. Ultimately, we're going to be made in like Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And when we have all, while we're here in this world, we see through a glass darkly. We're changed to some extent from glory to glory as we behold His face. We hear from His word. There's a change that happens as we behold His face, and the reflection of Him bounces off of us. We have a light to shine in this world, which is the light of Christ that is in us. We're to shine it out. We're not a light producer. We're a light reflector. He is the light source. We reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We reflect the light of His word as we walk in that and live in that in this world to give Him. And the ultimate end of that is not so they think so much of us. But let others see your light. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, every bit of the excellence that's in a little child of God is built in, not him being excellent in himself or herself, but being excellent for the purpose of giving honor and glory to the Lord. But God didn't call us to be mediocre. He called us to walk faithfully to the Lord and to do it as whatever we do, what he said, do it as unto the Lord. And we do it for what purpose? To the glory of God. And so therefore, we're not to do it halfway or part of the way. We're to do it to the very best of our ability. And where do we look for our ability? Where do we look to for our strength? Who is the one who's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness? Comes right back to verse 3, doesn't it? And we get everything from him. And so whatever it is I stand in need of, in order to face whatever I've got to face, God will give us the strength to do that. Isn't that good news tonight? I hope grace and peace is multiplied to us tonight as we hear that and know that, because we have the understanding, the discernment, the acknowledgement, the recognizing that Jesus is truly our Savior and He's Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He says He's called us to glory and virtue. And that virtue is a wonderful, glorious excellence that we have in the Lord. Not an excellence that makes us again something in ourselves, but an excellence that gives honor and glory to the Lord. So what we do praises and honors God. The beauty of the Lord's church. You know, I love to see a church that's praising God. And it's no better place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. But see, if that was about us just being something special in this world, wouldn't that be so empty and vain? Wouldn't that be an empty thing? Just so we could say, oh, you ought to see what we got. You ought to see what we have. That's Laodicean attitude, isn't it? That's where they were. We're in such good shape. We're in need of nothing. And they've forgotten that without the Lord, we're poor and miserable and blind and naked. And we need Him in every single way. When is it that a little church is excellent? It's when they feel to be the least. And they feel to be the most needy and the most... Listen, we're a mess without the Lord, aren't we? If the Lord's not, we'd be at one another before the meeting ended. But by the grace of God, we can love one. Isn't it wonderful to love one another and forgive one another and do it as if there's never been a problem? And He's able to do that. Take all those things, just wipe them away and love as He's loved us. And just think about what He's forgiven us. Oh, to think about Him having anything to do with me at all. How much He's had to forgive me of in order for a perfect Savior and a perfect God to have any communion with this old sinner that stands before you. Listen, it takes the blood of Almighty God, of Jesus Christ, to wash away what can wash away my sins. And to think that I can have communion with Him and fellowship with Him. What forgiveness. And if that's happened in my behalf, what is it that I could not forgive my brethren for anything? It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Get verse 4. I love that language. Sometimes we just read it and pass over it. I know I do. But they're not just great promises. They're not just precious promises, but they're exceeding, above great and above precious. And that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That means we're able to walk with Him and commune with Him and have fellowship with Him. We're able to walk in the inner man in the Spirit of God, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen, we've got an old body, as we heard about today. We've got an old body that you're going to contend with until you leave this world. But there's a whole lot of this stuff in this world we can escape from being a part of and should not be a part of. That was true in this day. It's certainly true in the day we're living right now, where those things we're not to be a part of. And as much as we can escape those things. How? By walking in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, but that is in the world through lust. And a lust is simply just something we long for that's forbidden to us. And that's the old nature of man. You just tell a kid, don't touch that, and watch what he does. It's just in there. And you know why he does that? Because he inherited that nature from their father and mother. And that's from us. And that's, it seems to be what we... And how do we keep that under control? By walking in the new man, putting off the old man with his deeds. And he goes on and he says, And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we have faith, but we add to that faith virtue. And virtue, we want to conform our life and our conduct to biblical spiritual principles. That means we want to walk in a way to honor and glorify God. Now, the reason we do that is not so everybody will think we're something. You know, you can get to be a Pharisee by doing that. But you do it because I want my life to glorify God. And that's hard to get to that spot. And I say hard because the old flesh gets in the way. I want to live right and act right and talk right so that God might be glorified in the way I lived and act and talk. Not so someone will think, not so I'm okay. Not so someone think something of me. Not be, it doesn't come back to me. I want that to be. And so how can we do that? Listen, the same one who gives us faith has to give us virtue. And so we look to Him. And has He given us that? He said to add to your faith virtue, and the virtue and the faith that we have came from Him. We go right back. He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. He said, add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue knowledge. You can't walk in the principles of God unless you know what they are, and we have to learn them. We have to grow in them. So we look to the Lord for the knowledge. We add to our faith, which is the ability to walk in a way to honor God. We add to our faith virtue, and then we add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see, there's a growth here going from one to the other that we're to add these things in our lives. He said, and just for time's sake, you know, we could talk about each one of these things, but we have, I think, kind of over and over at different times. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why God's little children walking as God's little children. Notice though in verse 9 he says this, but he that lacketh these things is blind. If you lack these things, didn't say you were dead, just says you're blind. God's little children, and God's little children who are able to see can become blind when they fail to add these things. It says they lack these things, they're blind, they cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I love this verse because some people said that's an impossibility for someone to be purged and not know they were purged. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says a man can get to a place where he's forgotten he was purged. Now, you know the only one who can forget he was purged is someone who has been purged. You can't forget you were purged if you never were purged. But if you've been purged, and we fail to add to our faith virtue and the virtue of knowledge and add all those things, we can get to the place we forget these things. Even to the place we begin to wonder, am I His or am I not? Even to the place we may almost be surely thinking that we cannot be His because of the mess my life is in. Listen, that's a bad state, isn't it? Oh, we want to be able to see tonight. Not only are we His, we want to feel that we're His. We want to have that understanding and know that. If these things be in you and abound, then make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, he said, brethren, give diligence. And diligence doesn't mean just take it or leave it. It means to be earnestly concerned about it. It says to make your calling and election sure. Now, how do we make our calling and election sure to the Lord? I believe the Lord knows who He's called, don't you? I believe the election, as the old brother said, the election is over and the polls are closed with Him. He's already made choice of His people. But what is it? It makes it becomes sure to us as His children. It becomes something, as we work out these things, it becomes more real to us. We feel to be more a part of that. We become more manifestly in the light of what others can see. They can see the evidence that the Lord has certainly done something in our lives. And we do it in such a way to give Him honor and praise and glory. It says to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, one day we're going to have that wonderful time of being with the Lord in heaven and immortal glory. But also, while we're living here in this world, we get a taste of His kingdom right here, right now, by the grace of God. We have righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. Tonight, as we gather and we meet and we're able to fellowship with one another and praise the Lord and to hear of His wonderful salvation and be able to believe that and enjoy that and have fellowship with that, and we can love one another and have brotherly kindness and charity and add all those things to us, we get a taste, just a glimpse, a foretaste of what that eternal kingdom is going to be like. But it's that same kingdom we're enjoying here right now in this world and in fellowship with Him. And all of that has come not because we've done anything, but because of His wonderful and amazing grace. I do appreciate your kind attention, and thank you for that, and please keep me in your prayers.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you.